Hello and welcome to episode 82 of It's Never Sunny in Seattle. It is now the second day of May, and here to join me on this emergency pod of Never Sunny in Seattle is Daeshik Kim Jr. Welcome, Day.
It's Miller time.
It is indeed Miller time, which is why I am hosting today for the first time since the pilot episode. So the first time in what, 81 episodes?
You and Bryce, you know, debut starts today, baby. Let's go. That's Miller time.
Yeah. You may notice that Dustin is not here today. That's because Dustin's at work.
That's because we found out Dustin is Gouda shark.
Yeah, Dustin's actually been canceled from the pod because he is the person that left us a 2-star review.
And his punishment is he's at home punching himself in the face.
They said that our podcast was worse. Listening to us talk about race and culture or whatever they said is worse than punching yourself in the face. And yet they gave us 2 stars. And also, I think that means that punching yourself in the face is about 2.5 or 3 stars.
3-star experience, baby. We don't endorse it, though. But 2 stars for a comment that negative is pretty good. I think that the quality is so good that even if you think we're that bad, the floor is high.
And if you don't think we're that bad, then you should join our Discord. I will put a link in the show notes. I will tweet one out. But yeah, we say this about every episode, but we have a pretty vibrant community in the Discord. It's pretty hopping. It's going to be hopping tonight with Bryce Miller starting. Very exciting time. You can also join our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/neversunnyinseattle. All that aside, it is time to talk about Bryce Miller. I think for really the past, 6 months, like really since the offseason, the show has spent a lot of time talking about Bryce Miller, talking about Jared Kelnick. There are some things that just one way or another get talked about every show. We should probably do this more often, but really his call up has necessitated an emergency podcast to really like hammer home, you know, for people who are normal listeners of the pod and also people who are not, like, what do the Mariners have in Bryce Miller? And I think this is actually, you know, kind of a nice segue into we'll get to Bryce Miller, but I think first, it's really prepping expectations. So Brendan Ryan was him, asks, what expectations would Miller have on his start compared to Kirby and Gilbert starts?
Kirby. Yeah. He's going to be Kirby tonight.
Okay. I know that you have their numbers pulled up from their debuts. Do you want to rattle those off?
Yeah, I mean, the basic numbers. I don't have the advanced stats, but 6 innings, no runs, 7 Ks. Jesus. I mean, Kirby's a pretty high bar, but the rookie pitchers, the new arms we've debuted over the past year and a half. I asked you before we started recording, do you think it's luck or is it just more of a testament to the farm system?
Yeah, I think the Mariners are really good at God, what do they call Dave Cameron's position? It's like player. It's some weird play. He has some weird role. Oh, I think I found it. No. Seattle Times. I can't read it because it's behind a paywall. So I'm going to get behind that paywall really quick.
Sometimes incognito does not work.
Yeah, it's like player. It doesn't matter. While it's loading. Yeah, they're really procurement, I think, is what it is. They're really good at procuring, you know, players and identifying like players that are good, players that have traits that, you know, are I don't know, are that of a good pitcher. And relatedly, like, I think they are good at taking a pitcher, and if they're willing, getting them to do the things that make them the best version of the, you know, that pitcher that they can be, whether that is pitch mix, whether that is arm slot, you know, getting set up on the most optimal position on the rubber. So I think it's really a testament to the Mariners, kind of, they're really into the like mental aspect of the game and culture. And so I think that's honestly a big part of it. Like we can talk about Gas Camp all day, but and that is what inevitably led to Kirby being the pitcher that he is now. But yeah, it's really not an accident. And I think that we ought to be considering the Mariners as a top five pitching development system. And yeah, Dave Cameron is the senior director of player procurement.
I mean, yeah, we've been lucky. We've had, you know, our arms probably our deepest or the most depth on our team, right? And would you say Bryce probably would have broke through the 40-man, the opening day roster on other teams? Probably more than half?
I mean, I think there was a chance. Like, I thought he might do it this spring.
Exactly. But, you know, to my point, there wasn't a lot of room. You know, it was because of a unfortunate early season Robbie Ray injury, but I feel like a lot of other clubs, Bryce could have easily been their fifth starter. The way he was pitching last year, you know, spring. I know his minor leagues numbers have been a little down, but.
Yeah. I mean, Mariners are first in pitcher war and fourth in starting pitcher war. So, yeah, definitely, like, I think there are probably, I don't know, at least 20 teams where he could have started, like reasonably started in their starting rotation. So. Yeah.
So closer to Kirby than Justice Sheffield, you'd say.
Yeah, I think actually, like,
we can't just talk about the good luck, you know. We've had some, you know, disappointments.
I mean, Justin Dunn. Yeah.
Exactly.
But I think to get at the question, like, I think you can probably expect something like Logan Gilbert. Because he really doesn't comp to Kirby much at all. He has the better fastball shape. He doesn't. I mean, Kirby is like elite command. It's much more like Gilbert, where it's like Gilbert, I think, can command the ball better. But like if we're gonna talk about concerns for Bryce Miller, it's longer arm swing. So when you think about Lucas Giolito, he used to have the long arm swing where it's like when he rears back to throw the ball, his arm is straight out. Now when he does, like, his elbow is damn near touching his body. That should, like, the shorter arm swing should mean more repeatable, a more repeatable release point, and that should lead to better command, better control. He's cleaned it up a little bit, and his release, his delivery isn't as violent as it used to be. So I don't know what his, you know, internally, like, what his command grades are, but, like, I would think that it's not worse than 45 grade, which is more than passable. He might even be getting up towards, like, average. With this fastball shape it doesn't really matter because his fastball is going to play anywhere in the zone. The reason why I comp him to Logan Gilbert is Logan Gilbert, when he is around the zone, commands it pretty well, but he lets it loose and, like, you know, he has a lot of errant pitches. And so it's really the fastball that have historically been, like, the pitches for them. Logan Gilbert just developed a splitter and a better slider where he's throwing them for a lot of strikes. And I think that, I want to write that up soon. But Miller, I would say, hasn't fully dialed it in yet with his gyro slider, which is like
the gyro slider.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good example of someone who throws. I mean,
Daisuke Matsuzaka. Matsukawa.
He probably did, honestly. Edwin Diaz. And, you know, it's the slider that spins like a bullet, that spins like a washing machine, a football. Travels pretty straight, and just, you know, the bottom kind of falls out of it. Like, without gravity, it would just travel straight. But because of gravity, it just kind of falls out. It's a really good and relatively platoon neutral pitch. That should actually probably be his main whiff pitch. The one that probably has a higher stuff plus grade is his sweeper, which is like, I've seen some nutty numbers on it. And actually, I should pull those up. But yeah, I think that kind of gets at the first question, Day, of like, who does he, you know, who is the better comp of, you know, Mariners pitchers in more recent years? I don't know if you have anything to add there.
Gouda Shark asks, are you worried or not worried? Sorry, I read the question wrong. Let me try again. Gouda Shark asks, are you, is it a good or a bad thing if your pitcher is into hunting ducks?
I think it's generally not good.
Okay. The whole reason why I bring this up is because I did a deep dive, and our boy Bryce Miller loves to fucking hunt, which is whatever. Not my culture. Actually, that's not true. Hawaii people hunt with dogs, which I think people think is bizarre. But anyway, besides the point. Dude, Harry Ford is a very good-looking guy. Have you seen his Instagram?
Now, honestly, I think baseball players are so just boring.
Exactly. And then look at this man, okay? And Bryce Miller comments on every single photo with a troll comment. I just became fans of theirs.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, the dude's active. His TikTok is popping. I get a little nervous when these, like, young prospects, lot to prove, are overly active on the social, but I'm turning into a grandpa, you know? Not that they're not allowed to, but baseball's such a mental game. You don't want to be, like, overly confident, struggle in the beginning, and then have to, like, not tweet for a while. Or talk.
Yeah, you know? I think I can pretty comfortably say that I would not want to hang out with most of these guys. but Bryce Miller does throw the ball real good. The doom and gloom sound doesn't.
You don't hang out with him. Mikey doesn't make TikToks. He's. Doom and gloom. What's wrong with making TikToks?
Nothing. If yeah, it depends. It really depends.
What's your prediction tonight? What do you think he's gonna go out in? It's against a pretty bad A's line.
We should talk about that. 'Cause B asks, how do you think Miller is likely to stack up against the A's lineup? Because the A's aren't good, but if the A's are bad, if their lineup is bad, then that makes the Mariners lineup awful. The A's lineup ranks 98. You think the A's
lineup is better than our lineup?
I mean, objectively, they rank 98 in WRC plus, and the Mariners are 92. So, like, to date, thus far, they have performed better, you know, folding.
Is that us underperforming, though? Or
I think so. And them probably overperforming. I mean, I look at their lineup and I'm like, I don't like really any of these players.
Brent Rooker.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
Or is it Rocker?
I don't know. But so I think I'm going to pull up different teams, how they've done against right-handed pitchers. But I'm not worried about the A's as a matchup for Miller. Let's see. So against right-handed pitchers, oops, I have it set up for something, not that. By XWOBA, they rank, wow, 23rd, and the Mariners are 15th. So 304 XWOBA right against, yeah, right-handers. So this is a pretty good matchup. I think, like, if there's any game where you want to call them up, like, based on timing, based on opponent, I think this is the one. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 righties. And I think one of their scariest lefties is on the IL right now. Seth Brown is hurt. So they're probably even less scary than they would be otherwise. So I think this is actually a good matchup for him. And I think really, like, when we talk about Bryce Miller, I think you can gather just based on kind of how we're talking about him. His fastball, according to Jeff Ponce of Baseball America, who has been on this podcast twice now, ranks as the second best in MLB at a stuff plus of 129. If you ask Jerry DePoto, a couple months ago, he said that the data attached to his fastball, especially, is, his words, otherworldly. And I tend to agree. So he thinks it is the most impactful fastball in the minor leagues for a pitcher who starts. So for a starting pitcher. And if you want to get, like, into the nitty gritty about it,
get into it, Mikey.
We talked about this when Jeff was on the podcast, but he gets up to 19 induced vertical break with his fastball from a release that's like 5.3. The way that you do that is generally, well, the way, no one really does that. And actually, I should look up maybe some starters who are currently doing that. But there's a really strong relationship between IVB and arm slot. Like, you have to have a pretty vertical arm slot to create that much vertical movement. And so most pitchers, like, can't really do that from a low release height. And the way that you do that is by getting down the mound, which Bryce Miller does really, really well. And so,
He's what those old men in Moneyball would call momentum downward, downhill pitcher, right? Did I get that right?
Basically, yeah.
Billy, did I get that?
And it's really special to combine the two. He throws out of a more vertically oriented arm angle or arm slot. And so I'm trying to think, like, if you're looking for a comp based on velo and arm angle and vertical movement, like, I think you'll like this one, Day. I think you're looking at probably Taj Bradley is like one.
Or Ronsny Contreras.
I don't know, actually. All right, he's not Taj popping Bradley. On this.
I like Taj. That's a,
yeah.
Taj look good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like it's probably like a Christian. I think Christian Javier's fastball is a really good comp for.
That's a really good fastball.
And Miller throws way harder. So I think like it's somewhere there. And like, I don't have the data. So I like, it won't be until after this game that we can really like take it. And, you know, we're going to talk about this more on next Sunday, but that's what we're looking at is like a dead zone fastball is about 12 to 16 inches of induced vertical break. Miller is way out of that. The thing is, like, with guys with high release points, like Chris Flexen, like a high IVB actually doesn't mean a good fastball. Miller is the exception because he throws hard as hell and he throws from a low release. So even then, like, he's throwing like from a foot lower than Taj Bradley. And even, you know, inches lower than Christian Javier. So to put it shortly, we don't really have a starting pitcher who, based on release, based on arm angle, based on spin efficiency, based on all these traits, we don't really have a starting pitcher who throws a fastball like Bryce Miller. And that ought to lead to a fuck ton of whiffs, of called strikes, takes. That he's taken, he used to throw more of a curveball shape. He ditched it for a gyro slider. Those two are really, really good. They're a really good pairing, and we see that with Luis Castillo. And he has a sweeper. He technically throws a changeup, but doesn't throw it very much. And when you have pitches this good, like, I wouldn't throw them either. But, like, I don't know.
Like, before, a Freddy Peralta, maybe?
But, like, Freddy Peralta throws, like, 92. So,
yeah,
like,
Bryce throws a lot harder, but, I mean,
yeah,
Matthew gets... But, 30% yeah, whiffs on his.
Peralta also, I mean, the difference with Peralta is he throws from a low. Actually, I think he's another guy who throws from a higher arm angle, but like low, just elite extension. So it is a similar thing where he gets a lot of sweep and like a synthetic sweep on his slider. But yeah, the fastball.
So you're saying five innings, no runs, eight strikeouts.
I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna go look at his last start. I think he gives up.
Which was his best minor league start of the season, right?
His last one. I think he'll go. I think the Mariners let him go five and a third innings. I think he'll K six. I think he'll walk two, and I think he'll give up two runs is my call. What do you think?
I'm going to cheat as well and say seven innings, no runs. He's going to pull a Kirby, baby. We're going to keep the streak alive.
You're a madman.
I'm going to get madder. I'm going to say one more strikeout than even Kirby did. I'm going to say 8 Ks.
And I think it's not predictive, but in the spring, Went two innings, two strikeouts, and then he went three with four strikeouts, and then four with three strikeouts, three with four strikeouts. That's a spring. And that adds up to 12 innings of 13 strikeouts and four walks, no home runs. Has struggled with the home run ball. His strikeouts have come down. His walks have risen, I believe, a little bit. But I don't think any of these things are issues. Like I think his stuff is too good for the K's to fall this much. And actually his walks are down too. But like, yeah, in the spring he threw 82% strikes. Like I don't think he's gonna struggle to get the ball in the zone enough. I think with debuts, you always tend to wonder about like adrenaline. But I think I don't think he's gonna struggle with it. I think he's pretty big time. So all that is
what's plus, his pitch load been in the minors? Like we're not seeing any kind of pitch limit tonight, are we?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we don't have like pitch data really for him. Teams do, I think. But I think, you know, I don't think they let him, you know, sniff 100. I think he's probably four or five innings, unless, you know, he is inefficient today. But all this is
so you didn't like my 7-inning prediction.
No, I don't think that's happening unless he's insanely efficient. But that's a plus fastball. A good gyro slider that we ought to call plus. And the sweeper, which I haven't really talked about because sweepers, you know, unless you're, man, there's a guy
So are you saying Easton was only allowed to go into the seventh because he was riding a no-hitter?
Well, I mean, the thing with Easton McGee is he had two strikeouts. He allows a lot of pitches into play, which is the best way to pitch efficiently. If you strike a hitter out, you have to throw three pitches. If you get an out, you can throw as few as one. So Bryce Miller's just not the type of guy that like it, you know, is just built to go nine innings or, you know, that deep into games, especially with the command.
Well, part of the reason why I'm excited for tonight and pitch is we talk about these trade scenarios all the time. We're unhappy with our bats, et cetera, et cetera. We don't really know what we have yet. I don't think any team really does. And it'd just be interesting. Like, who's the real Bryce Miller? I'm really curious. I mean, obviously, it's one game. It's his first game. Like you said, his adrenaline might be high. But I just want to know who these pitchers are. So when we get to the All-Star break, we can, you know, better assess what we have a lot of, what we don't.
I mean, yeah, if it looks something like Christian Javier with more walks, like that might be it. I think, you know, the error bars are relatively wide, but what I was just going to say is like the sweeper, he can sweep 20 inches, or I should say is like pretty reliably sweeping at 20 inches. And I think he can get it past that. So it's an elite shape. He's throwing it like low, like mid 80s. Like, you know, which is like a plus shape. So, you know, that's a pitch because of all the non-magnus or movement that is not due to spin, you know, kind of movement. Those can be tough to command and to like mentally kind of make the adjustment of where you think it will land versus how it actually moves. But stuff is not the issue here. I think what we're going to see come tonight or tomorrow, whenever these things come out, is that he's immediately one of the, you know, top stuff plus darlings in MLB. So, I think really that's like the, That's the long form on Bryce Miller. Is like he has arguably the best fastball, but you know, probably the first or second best fastball from a starting pitcher in the minor leagues. I also think that he's going to hop into the major leagues and have one of, you know, a top 10, 15 fastball for a starting pitcher. Yeah, it really just comes down to if he can throw, you know, enough strikes, if he can get it in the zone enough or like get hitters to chase enough. But man, this is like, I was hyped about Kirby, you know, coming in with his, with additional velo. I was excited about Logan Gilbert, but in terms of just like stuff that's going to blow you away, like Matt Brash is the only other pitcher who really compares in that way. And side note, like Bryce Miller, we talked about this a while ago, but Bryce Miller just watched his start, Brash's start against the White Sox last year, which you recapped Outlook at Landing, and just took the grip and just started throwing it. And it's only, you know, he's only refined it. So
what does it say about Emerson?
Yeah, I think he's just kind of like kind of in between. Like I think he's more towards Kirby, where I would call it above average command, not sexy fastball shape, not an amazing stuff plus guy. And actually I should look up, I think after, cause he pitched in the Futures game last year. I don't remember what his stuff plus looked like. But I do remember he had, for the Futures game, like they had, guys that pitched, they had stuff plus stuff, for lack of a better word, on them, because it's the stadium, whatever it was, spits out Statcast data. So I don't know. Like I said last episode, I think I'm more excited about Emerson Hancock than I was in the past, but it's hard not to be more excited about Bryce Miller.
Do you know we're third to the bottom in strikeouts as a team? Meaning, like, we strike out the most.
Our hitters?
Yeah.
That makes sense. And I think it's actually, like, kind of the issue, again, that we're... we don't get on base... We don't get on base via base hits enough. And part of that is because we strike out too much. So it remains, I think it's better than last year, but it remains an issue.
The Dodgers are second to the worst, but they are also leading in home runs.
And also they haven't been that good this year.
That's like,
they haven't been the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But
they've been hitting the ball far. I was just looking up where Oakland ranks in strikeouts, their batters, and they're still bottom seven. But yeah, I was like, damn, that is the Seattle logo to the bottom.
But yeah, do we have anything more on Bryce Miller? I think really just, I mean, that wasn't that quick. It was 35 minutes, but I think we just wanted to hop on, you know, just talk about what we know and get it out for people to hopefully listen to before the game tonight.
Any maybe nice final words for Chris Flexen as we wrap?
I still think he's good. I think he's just throwing his four-seam fastball too much. If he went primarily cutter sweeper, I guarantee you he is just, so
you're telling me Flexen's gonna be in the pen thinking his fastball was hot shit, and here comes new, younger, hotter TikTok star Bryce Miller with a top five fastball in the league.
I doubt it, but maybe he'll stop throwing his fucking fastball. It's just so not good. I actually think Steph Plus Models don't love his cutter either, but I don't care.
All right, well, tonight, Bryce Miller's on the bump. We're excited. We've been waiting for this for a while. I wish I could go to the game. Obviously, it's not here. For some reason, I thought his debut was going to be on Friday, but
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, I would have gone if I didn't have a meeting tonight. So I will be somewhere from 6 to 8, hoping to kind of follow it as the game goes. Guarantee you the Discord will be hopping during the game, but as Dustin says, I have been Mikey. You can find me on Twitter at _KuyaMikey. You can find Day on Twitter at DayShookJr. You can find the podcast wherever. Go find it. You're already listening to it. Like, I don't know why people say this.
Gouda Shark.
Hashtag Gouda Shark. Those who know, know. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/NeverSunnyInSeattle. Thank you for listening, and go Bryce Miller.